This is KFSK's Midday Magazine for Friday, December 2nd. I'm Angela Denning. Petersburg's Borough Assembly Monday could be adding to the list of properties the municipality will be putting up for sale next month. The borough has received applications from Hammer and Wecon to buy land at 1199 Hagen Drive, and Sue Paulson and her brother Chris Jensen have asked to purchase land on North 4th Street near Wrangell Avenue. Those parcels could be added to the property the borough will be auctioning off January 17th. Other parcels already on the list are on Sandy Beach Road and Ira 2 Street. The borough is selling property to finance the renovation of the police station and municipal building. On a related item, the Assembly will have the third and final reading of an ordinance to change zoning at 919 Sandy Beach Road from public use to single-family residential. That's in preparation for the January auction. There's also the third and final vote on changes to this year's budget for the borough. In other business, the Assembly will consider going forward with a $56,000 contract for design work to repair the dam at City Creek, one of the borough's two reservoirs. Another decision is on a lease transfer for Tidelands behind the Alaska Department of Fish and Game building on Singley Alley. The Assembly tabled that decision last month and has heard back from the property owner and future owner about a proposed sale and plans for fixing the dock behind that building. The borough has also been waiting to hear back on an offer to take over state docks at Papke's Landing and Kuprinoff and may have a response from the state on that offer. Assembly members plan to decide who will represent the community on the Southeast Alaska Power Agency, the town's wholesale electrical power provider. Mayor Mark Jensen, his brother John Jensen, and Vice Mayor Cindy Lagadakis have expressed interest in one seat and one alternate seat on the board of that organization. There's also scheduling a hearing for what the borough is calling a dangerous building in Island Trailer Court, and the Assembly will consider renewing a contract with the borough's lobbyist in Juneau. The meeting is at noon Monday at the conference room of the Hallingstad-Paradovich building. KFSK will broadcast the meeting live. Petersburg's annual Christmas Bazaar is tomorrow at the Sons of Norway Hall. The event is sponsored by the local Sons of Norway Lodge. Over 35 vendors will be selling crafts, food, and other items both downstairs and upstairs. The lodge is also using the event as a fundraiser and will be selling soup out of the kitchen. I spoke with event organizers Sally Dwyer and Janet Holton about the details.
Sally Dwyer from Sons of Norway.
Janet Holton from Sons of Norway.
And this is an annual event?
It's our second time doing it. It is an annual event that formerly was at PFI. Last year, we put on a fabulous one, filled both floors of the Sons of Norway last year.
I was going to ask you how that went. I know there were vendors downstairs and upstairs, and then there was also a lot of activity in the kitchen.
Yep, we did the soup kitchen in the kitchen, had 8 different soups. This year, we're having 12 different soups.
So what about the vendors? How many vendors are you expecting for this year?
There are 24 downstairs and 13 upstairs.
Okay, and can you give us an idea of what kinds of things people could expect to be there?
Well, we're having a bake sale upstairs. There's crafts.
Wreath making.
Other food items.
Yep. Orange Julius from the Tsunami Bowl Kids will be upstairs. We have all kinds of people downstairs, Rosemallers and bakers and crafters, and some direct sales also. So it'll be a whole mix of things.
So it's kind of a way to Christmas shop. It wouldn't be considered last minute at this point.
It's an inspiring place to come to get you in the mood. And after you shop at the Suns, hit Main Street.
Agreed. I think that, you know, supporting our local businesses is key to a thriving community. And it's so much fun, and especially at this time of year when everything's decorated and everybody's in the mood for the holidays.
The smells of Christmas from the Scentsy Lady, and I'm sure the other things will smell wonderful, like our bake sale upstairs. Ta-da!
Yes, we are going to have our members bring goodies, and as we did last year, we sold out fairly quickly last year, and a wide variety.
So. And the Butter and Love Bakery.
There you have it.
That's what we call it.
So you're specifically talking about the lodge bake sale. So
the Sons of Norway.
Sons of Norway sponsored bake sale.
Upstairs.
So Norwegian things on the menu.
Yes, you'll notice I have my timer with me. I have the last of my cardamom bread rising, and I don't want to get where I'm visiting too much and forget that it's home rising.
I have tasted your cardamom bread, and that stuff is delicious.
Thank you.
So how early do people need to get there to not miss out on the sale? How long does the event go Saturday?
The doors open at 10 a.m. and go till 3 p.m. And we don't know how long anything will go. I mean, last year we were out of baked goods in 40 minutes. I mean, and it was a full table.
But then the soup lasted most of the time in the kitchen?
Actually, no. When I went downstairs after being upstairs at the bake sale, I went downstairs to get a bowl of soup, and there was none to be had. No. So
eight kinds of soup. So now we're upping it to 12 this
year.
We
ran out of soup at 12:45. I mean, people were licking the pots.
What kind of soup this year?
Oh, gosh, we have 12 absolutely different, from jambalaya to chili to butternut squash to smoky turkey to split pea, two kinds of seafood, one with a clear broth and one with a creamy broth. There's just a nice mix. And so there will be 12 pots of soup. And we serve them in the go cups with the lids, so you can take it with you and have it later, or you can poke it in your bag and it won't spill. You also get your choice of a cookie. There are several kinds of cookies. And you get a ranch roll and butter for $5. It's a rare deal.
Now, making a little money off the soup and the vendors that are at the hall, where does that money go at the Suns?
Well, as you know, it's quite a large building. It's out over water, and it's 104 years old. So part of it goes into helping keep the building upright. Part of it will probably end up going to scholarship, because we do support children in town going to language and art camp, and also two graduating seniors each year get a scholarship from us. But one of the exciting things this year is when you come upstairs, you get to see our rosemald ceiling, which is part of the renovation and restoration project at the Sons of Norway. You come up the 2.5 flights of stairs, you open the beautifully rosemald door with the oval glass window, which is new, and look up.
Yep.
And oh my gosh, it's 10 by 14 feet.
Stop at our Sons of Norway bake sale and look up.
Just come in and look up.
Okay, excellent.
It's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Angela.
Thanks, Angela.
Sally Dwyer and Janet Holton are with the Sons of Norway. Again, the Christmas Bazaar event runs 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. tomorrow at the Sons of Norway Hall. The Petersburg Arts Council hosts a party and fundraiser tonight, and will be selling tickets to its first offering for 2017, a comedy act from Juno. The party tonight will feature a progressive auction of some small donated artworks. Joe Vicnicki spoke with Council President Mark Kubo and Mary Kappas about the event and other offerings for the upcoming year.
So, Mark, the Feast of Small Things is coming up on a Friday night. Can you tell me about this? This is a fundraiser for the Arts Council.
Right. So I think this is about the third year that we've done a holiday party hosted by the Arts Council. Anyone who was there last year kind of knows the drill. We're asking people to bring an appetizer, finger food dish. And it's open to anyone, but we would really like all those who come to, if they haven't paid as members of the Arts Council, to pay in as a member.
And join up.
Yeah, and okay. Join, because all these contributions do help pay for the fees and travel and all these things associated with bringing people, acts, and groups into Petersburg.
And as part of it, you're also having some art again this year. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we've asked a number of artists around town to donate and contribute to pieces of small art. Last year, it was all canvases. But this year, we've opened it up to kind of any small art in the 4x4 inch to 6x6 inch range, and there are some of these items that are now on display at the Rexall Drug window, and obviously some paintings on canvases, but some photographs, pieces of pottery as well. So.
And are those up for auction, or how does that work?
So what we're doing is we are selling it's kind of what we call a progressive auction. If you've participated in a white elephant gift exchange, it's kind of similar to that, but in order to participate, we're selling a ticket for every piece of art that's present. That's going to be $10 is the entry fee for this activity. And we draw the numbers. You get to either... The first person has to choose a wrapped item, but after that, a person can either choose to steal one or to choose a wrapped item. To steal, though, however, requires an additional $20 because you already know what you're stealing. And if you happen to get an item that you really, really like and you want to keep, you can lock it for $30. There's a maximum of 3 steals.
Okay. And I know you did that last year. How did it go? Did it work well?
It worked well. People, I think, enjoyed it, and we were able to raise some funds.
Okay. And Mary, you know a little bit about the Comedy Act that's coming down in January.
I do.
Can you tell me about them? What's their name, and what do you know about
them? Yeah, so they are kind of a new stand-up comedy group that's formed in Juneau. They're called Club Baby Seal. A little bit of humor in the name there. There's 4 stand-up comedians, 2 gals and 2 guys, and they're also bringing along their own MC for the event. And there'll be kind of limited ticket sales, so if you're at the Friday night Christmas party for the Arts Council, you can be the first to get tickets. I think they're doing 50 tickets for 2 nights, so 50 each night, January 20th and 21st. And it'll be a 2-hour event. About an hour and a half of that will be comedy, and then you'll have a half hour to get drinks at Keto's and to get food, which will be kind of a fundraiser for the market.
Okay. That's another part of your involvement.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. And I'm guessing from the name of the group, they're not very politically correct.
Yeah, I would say they're going to be, you know, pretty fun, maybe a little bit boundary pushing. Definitely, it's in a bar, obviously, so adults only there. But it should be, I think, a really fun night, something a little bit different than we normally have. But it would be a great, you know, date night thing to do, or come out with a group of friends and get a table.
So tickets start on sale for that. Mark, what else is planned for the Arts Council for ACTS this year? Have you finalized your schedule yet?
We're still planning on holding some kind of a Petersburg Live event again in conjunction with the Art Fest. So part of the funds will go towards Art Fest costs, and part of the funds will come back to the Arts Council. That is probably going to be in March.
And the Arts Fest, of course, in Petersburg this year, I think in April.
Yes, it's in April. It's mid-April sometime.
Okay, great. And other things planned yet? Or
towards the latter part of April, we are bringing in Shane Koikzon, which is a spoken word artist. He's deals kind of with some of the issues of things like bullying. So those are some of the topics that he covers in his spoken word poetry, narratives. So that's something that we have on our calendar. And then at the beginning of May, we have the Defibrillators. It's a country rock with a little bit of a punk, funk kind of flavor to it.
Okay.
They're from New York.
The fundraiser and party for the Arts Council is tonight at 6:30 at 1409 South Nordic Drive. There's more information on the Arts Council's Facebook page or website, psgarts.wordpress.com. The Tenneke Springs School closed this summer after its enrollment fell to single digits, but then the school building reopened as an independent learning center that gives homeschool kids a place to socialize and take part in group activities. Quentin Chandler reports the Learning Center is supposed to give Tenneke Springs kids a shot at a traditional school's resources.
Chris Menino has a 6-year-old daughter named Isla, who she homeschools and takes to the Independent Learning Center in Tenneke Springs all 3 days it's open. She says she only started thinking about homeschool after the town's school closed during the 2013-2014 school year.
Prior to that time, no, absolutely not. Homeschooling was barely a word I knew. It was nothing that we were pursuing or interested in.
The school reopened, but ever since, Menino has been doing research to figure out how she would homeschool her daughter. She says that's why this year, when the school shut down, she was ready.
So I wish our school was open. I wish we had, you know, enough students to have, you know, a regular school. That would be my first choice. But since we don't, I do feel that I've had time to prepare to do this.
Tenneke Springs is a small southeast Alaska town on Chichagof Island, about 46 miles southwest of Juneau. In 2015, the state reported it had about 140 residents. Francis Zeal says some families were already choosing to homeschool before the closure, and after the school shut down, the district wanted to support them. Zeal is a regional school board member for the Chatham School District, who also lives in Tenneke Springs. She says last school year, enrollment dropped from 11 to 5 students, so this summer, the district closed the school. State education funding drops sharply when enrollment falls below 10. Zeal says the Learning Center gives the town a chance to at least use some of the school's resources. Kids are also given access to the school's library, gym, classrooms, and the big one, internet. And they can come to special events like an upcoming talk on octopuses. Megan Bush is the Independent Learning Center's facilitator. Bush is in her office finishing up the day after an afternoon recess, pushing kids on swings and helping Isla, Chris Menino's daughter, overcome her fear of Bush's two dogs.
So I consider my job to be providing opportunities that they're not getting in their homeschool education. And a big part of that is, especially for the younger ones, is social time.
Chris Menino isn't sure what her family would have done if they had to homeschool without the Learning Center. She says moving would have been one option on the table. In Tinicky Springs, I'm Quentin Chandler.
And finally, Petersburg High School volleyball won two matches at the Region 5 2A tournament yesterday with three-game wins over third-seeded Klawock and seventh-seeded Skagway. PHS is the number two seed at the tournament in Craig. The Vikings beat Klawock yesterday afternoon 25-15, 25-13, and 25-13. PHS beat Skagway Thursday morning 25-6, 25-10, and 25-8. Petersburg is playing right now. The game started at 11:45 against the top-seeded Craig Panthers. Well, it is Friday, December the 2nd, and that means it's time for our stocks report with Dan Berg. He's a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors in Bellevue, Washington, and he's joining us now by telephone. Hi, Dan.
Hello, Angela.
So what's the news this week?
Well, I guess in one word, the post-election rally, which has been surprising and delighting investors, I guess, has stalled a little bit this week. This is the first week since the Trump win in November that the S&P has a modest loss. So maybe we're going to take a little bit of a pause here. For the economic news this week, the employment report was obviously the biggest thing, and it was a good report. The unemployment rate is at a post-recession low of 4.6%. And interestingly, even though wages dipped a little bit according to the statistics last month, year-on-year is what's important, and they're up about 2.5% nationwide according to the Labor Department. And that's not bad. So Trump is inheriting a pretty good economy. Also, inflation is showing a little bit of a pulse, which is probably not a bad thing either. The Fed uses a measure that's different than the CPI, that's a little bit wider. It's called the PCE deflator, and that shows a gain of about 1.4% overall in prices year on year. So not a bad report out of the U.S. Over in the EU, on the other hand, we'll all be watching nervously what happens in Italy this Sunday. They have a constitutional referendum, and they're trying to streamline the structure of their government. They have a zillion senators in their Senate, and it's hard to make policy there. And the prime minister has put his prestige on the line. And the reason why, as investors, we're interested in this is that if he resigns, there could be no movement in saving some of Italy's banks, which are some of Europe's largest, and that could put a bit of a damper on the EU. And also lurking in the background is a question regarding participation in the EU and the Eurozone generally for Italy, which is really an important thing. They have a political party there called the Five Star Party, which is opposed to remaining in the EU. And also in the news, the OPEC agreement finally did happen over great deals of skepticism. They actually, for the first time in 8 years, agreed to a cut in oil production for OPEC. And so that led to a pretty strong rally in oil prices during the course of the week. And I'll get to the exact price in just a minute. But it's probably good news for Alaska in having some sort of stability in oil prices. So for the week, the Dow Jones closed at 19,170. That is an 18-point gain in the Dow Jones for the week. The NASDAQ did fairly poorly this week, however. It was a very different story in technology. The NASDAQ closed at 52.55. That was about a 2.5% drop for the week for technology-related shares. The S&P closed down modestly, closed at 21.91 as opposed to last week's close of 22.13. The big news is oil, really. That closed at $51.64 for West Texas Intermediate for next month's delivery. That was 4606 last week. So that is a 550 gain in the price of oil during the course of this week. That's not bad. However, I looked at the charts, the graphs of oil prices over the last few years, and I noticed that just this year, oil has been at $52 a barrel two times before, and so it'll be interesting whether there is enough oomph to bring it past that $52 barrel mark. And so it'll be significant if it manages to do that, perhaps. Gold continues its slump. It closed at $1,174 an ounce, down another $4 from last week. The bond market has had a really quite a big challenge since the election, as deficit spending and the stimulus package are expected in the new administration. But this week there was also a pause in bond yields. There was very little change. The 30-year Treasury is at 3.06 and the 10-year at 2.39.
All right. Well, thanks for that report. What about individual stocks you want to touch on?
Well, Dollar General, which is a discount retailer, a lot of their business is in the southeast part of the U.S. Symbol DG, announced fairly punk results that closed at $74.56. On the completely other end of the spectrum, Tiffany, symbol TIF, showed their first rise in profit in 2 years, and that had a very good week. TIF closed at $81.30. There was some big news in Northwest issues. Today, Starbucks, Howard Schultz announced that he was stepping down as CEO. He's going to be managing really high-end coffees and coffee shops. There's some new concepts out there, including a $12 cup of coffee, which I won't be having. Maybe you will, Angela. I don't know. But Starbucks closed down modestly at $57.02. Boeing was also in the news. The World Trade Organization, which is the basically the global agreement among major trading partners on how what the basic rules are, ruled against Boeing, and specifically it had to do with Washington State's incentives to keep 777 airliner production in Washington State. There was a $7 billion tax break for Boeing, and the WTO says it was against the rules. That closed down to 152.25. Not much of a loss for the week, but that's a question about Boeing. And then finally, Alaska Airlines symbol ALK closed at 84.83.
Well, thank you. I don't think you could hear me laughing when you said the $12 cup of coffee, but no, I won't be partaking either.
Good grief.
I know. What's on the horizon for next week?
Well, the big announcements out of the U.S., really, there's not a lot. We'll be watching durable goods, particularly if there's an uptick in business spending in that number. But the big news will be overseas, specifically the Italian referendum on Sunday, which could definitely move the markets on Monday. And then there's also a European Central Bank meeting. It's their version of the Federal Reserve with Mr. Draghi. And in company news and earnings, it's a fairly light schedule, but certainly everyone will be watching Costco.
All right. Well, we will pay attention to that, and we'll check in with you next week to hear what happened.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dan, for joining us. We'll check in with you next week.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Dan Berg is a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors in Bellevue, Washington.
Listeners are reminded that the information provided is general in nature and may not apply to their personal investment situation. Individuals should consult with their chosen financial professional before making any decisions. Investment products and services are offered through Wells Fargo Advisors, a trade name used by Wells Fargo Clearing Services, LLC, member SIPC. Neither Wells Fargo Advisors nor its financial professionals are legal or tax advisors.
This wraps up KFSK's Midday Magazine. I'm Angela Dunning. Thanks for listening.